Before we jump into the message, I was looking at some notes I have here that was handed, and people need prayer, and so I didn't realize. Kay, you need some prayer, do you? You're okay now. Okay, that's a praise deal then. Okay, good. And Ann, you're over your sickness. Now you gave it to Clarence. That's a nice Christian thing to always share. So we'll keep Clarence on your prayer list. And Ann's okay, and she shared, you know. And and Judy, and she's had knee surgery, a knee replacement, I think. And we don't know the status yet. I don't know how she do. I can't get. Tell her she's a hard gal to get a hold of. But she's doing okay. Excellent. That's a good report. Oh, sure. Yeah. And Miss Joni, you're going in for something, a procedure this week. Okay. And that's on Wednesday, I believe. Okay. We'll be lifting you up. So everybody put this down. And you two are going to be traveling, right? In summer, you're still going to travel, right? All right, we'll keep you. Y'all going a long ways, right? He's not nodding his head. Yeah, that's okay. I understand when you're distracted. It's okay. And people do that in the message, too. Don't worry about it. So anyway, we'll keep all of you. Lord, just protect you all. Heal everyone and praise you, God, for all that you're doing to heal and cleanse and restore. Guide us safe on all of our journeys. Guide you safe. Lord, anyone here this morning that their name may not be on this list, but they're on your list, heal what ails them. Get them through this in the power of the living God, and we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, I get to go see my favorite surgeon this coming week. So, you know, over at the Brook Army Medical Center, and it's a new name for it now. They had to rename. They've got a new name coming out for Brook, because they can't call it Army because it's Air Force combined. And so there's a new name, but I don't. Anybody know what it is? Well, anyway, I still refer to it as Brook Army. It's the way I've always known it since I've been down in this area. But I get to go see my favorite surgeon this week and get his evaluation of where I am. So keep that in your prayers, will you? I want to come out with a good report and not have to go through any more stuff. I don't want any more. And I'm not going to share mine with anybody. I'm going to be selfish, so I'm not going to share my deal. But we're going to keep you in prayer. We're going to keep you in prayer, too. You're going through some things. We're all going to see the docs here lately. What is this? You feeling sorry for them? Need to help them get a new boat? Is that it? All right. Well, it's that, you know, it just happens. Things happen, but God happens more. And we look to Him for His salvation and redemption, His healing. We're going to a book that only has one chapter. That's it. Little teeny weeny book with a lot of power in it. It's called Jude. And so you're going to have to maybe hunt for Jude. And my particular Bible, and I only get a page and a half of the book of all of Jude. That's it. And I'm using the New Living Translation. And yet it just comes just popping in there with power. And I want to bring this message, and I just titled it Strength, Prayer, Mercy, Glory. If you can't find it, it's on page 1057. So anyway, it's way over there out for Revelation, and it's just a book we don't read because it just doesn't seem to amount to much. And sometimes it's a little, he goes into some things in what little bit space he has. But then he jumps into verse 20, and so you just put Jude 20 through 25, and he says, "But dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love." Well, he just really plows right into it. And he says, "And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering, and rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment, and show mercy still to others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Now all glory to God, and it just gets better and better. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence. Hear this next part. We read scriptures and we don't let it sink in all the time. It says he will bring you, he'll keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. That's rather stunning, isn't it? Because we know we have a bunch of them. And then he says, all glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. That's a heavy hit. He's going for the fence on that one. He's not trying to run one out. He's not going to leg it to first base. He's not going to bunt it. He's heading for the fence. I mean, he does too. He puts it out of the park. And so we want to cover this. So I titled this, Taking the Keys Out of This Passage, doing a more exegetical type message. And we just take exegetical means, you know, we're really going in dissecting the verses instead of a more topical where you use the verses and then get a theme from that. Both are legitimate. I use both. Do both ways. This one's more taken, you know, verse by verse, and as much as I can. They're key verses anyway, and just exploring them in more depth. So the strength, prayer, mercy, glory. Sounds like somebody's in a hurry to get to church out there. They're roaring right up in the driveway, whole busload of them. So the first point and the first thing that he talks about here, and when. You know, we're gonna kind of hit these points rather hard and forcefully, because this is important stuff here. It's all important, but he says, strengthen the faith of your family. You, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Build each other up in that. And you know, it's so easy to miss these kinds of teachings. We come here, we assemble together, we sing together, we share the message together, we have the Lord's Supper on special days for it, and you know, and we do all this together. And he says, but there's something else. There's another agenda that's more hidden. It should come out in the open, and we should be practicing a lot more. And he says, you know, build each other up in your most holy faith and pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that'll be our next one. Our next point, but our first point is strengthen the faith of your family. You say, what is he saying then? Build each other up in your most holy faith. He's saying, first of all, you've got to pray for each other. And that sounds so, you know, everybody says, you know, everybody, everywhere, any church, oh, we're praying for you. But that's not exactly what prayer means. When you pray for someone, how often do you go tell them that you're praying for them? That's what makes a difference. You know, we'll say, just like a while ago, and announce some names, and then we prayed. You know, and we just lift. It didn't have to be a long, lengthy thing. God doesn't need that. Just call the names of the people and what their deal is and say, but when you're praying for someone, let them know you're praying for them. Encourage them. That's building them up in their faith. You know, hey, I'm praying for you. That just shocks people. I think you are. Yeah, I lift you up to the Lord on a regular basis. That's building them up in their faith. They may be very discouraged, but somebody's praying for me. It's powerful to me when any of you, and you tell me I'm praying for you. Well, that's strengthening my faith. It's like, thank you, God. And I've got some prayer warrior out there backing me up. You know what it says? When you're praying for someone and you tell them that you're praying for them, you're saying, here on this earth, I got you back. Don't worry about it. Continue on your mission. We know God's got you, but he's let me in on part of keeping you, and I'm watching you back with prayer. So things you might miss, or things you might be weak in, or not, you know, you're not real strong at, or this or that, don't worry, we got you back. We got you covered. Go on with your mission. That's what this prayer is, and let people know you're praying. And here's something, you know how to build, this is stating what he says, and then how to do it. This is a how to do it message, so here we go. You pray for people and tell them you're praying for them. And then secondly, in strengthening the faith of your Christian, this, I should have put Christian family, but your family, this is your family, you ask about their needs. You know, I've had people, and they, you know, get to, now this is a common thing in churches. It's like, why didn't you ask them while you were talking? I ask people that, you know. Did you visit with so-and-so? Yeah. Well, is there anything I need to know? No, not really. Did you ask them about their needs? No. Well, what did you ask them? Is your favorite team winning? You know, at the base of Christianity, at the depth of Christianity, God wants us concerned about the needs of people. And let's be honest. The reason a lot of Christian people don't ask other Christian people about their needs, they're afraid they might tell them. It's true, and they're afraid then God might say, "And you help meet those needs." And that really digs it. You have to be a person that really loves the Lord and giving over, surrendered to God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And a person who's just a giver, and God's put in your heart to give. We don't ask people what they need because they might ask something of us. And then around, you know, any church right now, you know, if people got honest, and I'm not saying it's any of you, but this is just common and amongst Christians. We don't want to know somebody's needs because we just don't want to get involved and don't want to be called on the Lord to do something about it. But that's exactly what Christianity is. You find out needs, and you do what you can to help with those needs. What you can. I think there's been some false, I know there has, some false teaching out there that we're supposed to sacrifice, and there's times to do it. There's times God will call on each of us to sacrifice a lot for somebody else. But in general practice, that's not what he said. It just says give, and it'll be given unto you, pressed down, running over without measure. What does that mean? It means give what you can. Do what. It doesn't mean we can meet the whole need of someone, but we at least ask about it, and if we have the means to help with some of it, we help. And we always think money in this. But friends, what about their spiritual needs? What about just letting somebody tell you spiritually where they are, and bolstering their faith by listening, by sharing some scripture, showing them where they can get some strength from the Psalms, or from some of the teachings of Christ here in the New Testament, just a passage like this. Ask about needs and meet those needs as you can, and look for the needs that's hurting them inside. Are you struggling in your faith with God? Are you disappointed in the Lord? Are you angry at God? Are you wondering if He's just written you off? Those are the things we need to ask people. People have needs that cry out to be met in places like that, and we just assume everybody's okay in those areas. Well, I can tell you, they're not. I can get up here and bring message after message after message, and I still have people comments, people that you don't ever see that talk to me, and they listen to messages, whatever, but they want to talk in other places, and they're struggling with, I heard your message, but it can't mean me. Why? Because you don't know what I did, and then I find out what they did. And I have to tell you a lot of times, listen, folks, I hear stories, that, you know, you've all heard them, but you can imagine what I hear, and yet a lot of those stories, some are very tragic. But a lot of them, I'm thinking, you're going through all this anxiety over that. I don't say that, you know, but I have many times thinking, that's got your life all destroyed and shook up. You know, really? You told someone you'd bake them a cake and you forgot about it, and that this is life destroying? Seriously? But really, you'd be amazed at what people just get, you know, that they've done it, and somebody, you know, others, you know, well, I said an awful word to one of my family. You did? I told them they were stupid. It's like, that's what's got you stressed? Yeah, I can't believe I said it. It's like, you should hear some of the things I've said in my life. Stupid would be a praise word from things I've called people. And it's like, and God's forgiven me for that. Yeah. Thank you. Nothing like your kid affirming the bad part of your life. When I was closer to my more military bearing, I was a little rougher in the way I dealt with some things, as you can probably imagine. An old infantry guy, it's a rough world, and so things were rough. But anyway, thank you so much, Ann Hitter. Anyway, so pay attention to your family. Listen to me, if you're going to strengthen people in your faith, your Christian family, pay attention to them. See their spiritual struggles. Notice where spiritually, emotionally, they're not here today. Get to know people well enough that you can tell by looking at them without even having to ask that they're not quite here today. That's when you strengthen them in their faith, is what's going on with you? You don't have to, listen to me, you don't have to ever have the answers, have the concern, have the care, have the compassion. God will give the answers. God needs someone with warmth to open their heart so they know the person can listen. You with me? We worry that I don't know what to say to somebody in need. I don't know how to respond. If you give them the compassion of God, the love of God, and listen, it opens their heart to let Jesus Christ come in and minister to their need. We can't meet those kind of needs, but we can be vehicles to lower the threshold of stress and resistance to the Lord so that God can come in and meet those needs. You want to strengthen your Christian family? A kind and encouraging word. Make it a point, not just here at church. This is not a message saying you're not doing this here, but do it out there. Give people a kind word. Say something. Find something. Find something about every person that waits on you at every table. And sometimes, yes, we all know, there's times I'm searching for something good to say. And it seems like these days, everybody's more rude than they've ever been. Does it seem like that to you? People wait on you, they're checking you out somewhere, and they're just rude. And you walk up and you expect at least the person, checking and waiting on you to say, how are you today? You know they don't want to know, but they're at least being pleasant. And a lot of times you go into the places, and then major places, and you're next in line, you walk, they don't say a word. And they just check you out. And you can say thank you, and they don't act like they don't even hear you. Have you ever thought what would happen when they do that if you don't move and you keep saying, thank you, thank you, thank you? They're going to answer you sooner or later. They will. And it's like, Tony, isn't that being a little bit mean? I don't know, but I like to do it now and then. Did Jesus say to do that? No, that's in the book of Tony. So that's where that one came from. Okay, right there. But a kind, encouraging word. And listen, this is kind of basic stuff, isn't it? And it's like, that's what he's talking about. It's the basics. If you blow them, you blow everything. If you don't set your flaps on takeoff, you're going to crash. And you say, are you a pilot? No, but I read that much. And besides, I watched that show, Airline Disasters, and I learned that. There's certain basic things you have to do, and you have to do them every time and never stop doing them. And then that's one of the things, if you don't set flaps, and there's been crashes because basics were overlooked. I just saw one of those disaster movies the other day, and they show the NTSB investigation and all that. And they said, what they finally found out was the co-pilot's reading off checklist, and the pilot affirmed it but didn't do it, or one of them didn't do it. And so they've heard it so many, how many hundreds, thousand times, and check, right, and these flaps, yep, checker and didn't do them. So they go racing down the runway, and they go to take off, and there's no lift. And they smacked. It's one of the old crashes in the past. And it's like, and I was just sitting there thinking, and we do that all the time in Christianity, don't we? We forget the basics. We forget that all life begins with Jesus Christ. It all begins, it goes, and it ends with Jesus Christ. And every day must go with prayer. And every day somehow we've got to get some scripture in our lives, even if it's just two or three verses, hopefully more, but just something. We've got to feed ourselves spiritually, and you forget those basics, and you'll crash. You'll blow it. So we've got to give that encouraging word to people. Hey, I see you're hurting. Yeah, talk to me a minute. And you may not have but a minute, but at least show compassion. And I found something else in life, and I see it happening here a lot. So thank you, and thank you, God, for doing this here. But you pat somebody, touch. When you pat somebody on the arm, you just touch that person. People, listen, we need that. We need it. There's a lot of guys sitting here who we kind of say, that's, we do our guy thing. If somebody asked me out there personally, Tony, do you need hugs? Nah. Yeah. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, okay, thank you. You don't have to affirm everything. No. But that's the way I'd be. But deep down, it's like, sure. And when you touch someone, you're doing more than just using words. You just, just a pat on the shoulder, anything, whatever your thing can be that you're okay with, but do something. You give people a strengthening in their faith. I'll tell you what doesn't strengthen them, to say, you better get back in the Word of God or you're going to fall away. Don't lecture. We don't lecture people. You encourage people. So I'm not going to go on anymore with that. It's just a kind, encouraging word. Let others know that they're loved by you and that they're loved by Jesus Christ. How will people know the love of Jesus unless they see it in us? That's it. They'll never know any other way. You can talk to them and preach to them and read them scripture all day long, but until they see it. Next, pray in the Holy Spirit. This has always confused me. I've had a lot of questions about this, and I've asked myself questions. What is praying in the Holy Spirit? He says, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. What the world? How do you pray in the Holy Spirit? I'm going to give you a few things. I wish I had more time. I'd give you a lot more, but I'll give you what I can. First, when you're praying in the Holy Spirit, number one, you pray as the Holy Spirit puts the words in your heart. Don't hesitate. When you get an impression in your heart, pray it. And we ignore those things. That's called the prompting of the Spirit. You must listen to the prompting of the Spirit, and if you don't, you'll grieve Him. When He prompts you, pray, even if the prompting and the prayer don't make much sense. You may be driving along somewhere and you look up, and maybe it's like, I pray that big old rock sitting up there doesn't fall. I hope it doesn't fall. Is that a prompting? Pray that it doesn't fall. Pray that it doesn't fall and crash into somebody, not you, but somebody else. And it's like, really? That's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You may be driving along, and there's some people just, riding their little bicycles, don't you know how they do, and block the whole lane and all that. You get mad. And yet, God may be saying, all of a sudden, you just feel like, I just lift them up in prayer. I don't know their names, but I just lift them up in prayer. And you're thinking, why didn't I do that? Because God prompted you to. Somebody in there needed it. Somebody need to be saved, or somebody's about to do something dumb and pull out in front of a car. Who knows? Your prayer can prevent that. But pray in the prompting of the Holy Spirit, whatever it is. You ever had an airplane go over and for some reason you just say to yourself, I sure hope that thing didn't come down. Maybe it's flying a little low or a little erratic. You ever done that? Well, maybe listen to that prompting and pray, God, save those people up there and keep them safe. That's praying in the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to understand why you're doing it. Just do it. If you wait to find out the why and God's moving and planning and purpose on this earth, you're going to be one sad creature. And if you're waiting for God to explain everything to you, well, I wish you well. And God doesn't always and seldom does explain everything. He wants us to go on faith and believe in faith and live on faith. So you pray as the Holy Spirit gives you the words. Pray as you're prompted. You come in here in church and maybe you just feel drawn to go over to somebody. Why don't you just put a hand on their shoulder and say, I just want to speak a word over you. Lord, bless this person. If that's the words that come to you, that's the words that come. Or Lord, save this person. Or, you know, I'm just going to pray for your joy, for your healing. They're saying, I don't need healing. Well, obviously you're going to. I'm praying for you now. Pray the scripture. When people say to me, Tony, I don't know what to pray, I tell them, do you know any scriptures? Yes, pray them. And if you don't know that many, learn some. And if you have trouble memorizing, then just keep places marked in your Bible, like a passage like this, and pray. You know, you can pray this, what we just read. You pray that, oh, dear friends, build each other up in your most holy faith. God, help me. Use me as your servant to build other people up in their holy faith. And Lord, help me to understand and learn what praying in the power of the Holy Spirit is, and help me to do it. And help me to be merciful, as Jesus is merciful. Pray the scripture. Pray the scripture over people. Pray it over me. Pray it over this church. You better pray the scripture over our country. If you do, scripture is the power, the word of God. It has power. You want to see changes? Pray the word. Pray from the heart. Pray from the heart. Pray simple. Pray sincerely and pray with feeling. Don't be afraid to pray with feeling. You don't need canned prayers. Anybody in here ever kind of worry about the form of prayer? Or did you grow up and raised in some environment where you wonder, what's the right kind of prayer? Am I praying in the right format? Anybody ever do that? Hopefully in this church you've learned pretty well. Pray however you want. But I've been in places where it had to be all formalized. Seriously, and have you ever been to churches where it had to be, you know, start off with, Father, we beseech thee. I mean, that kind of prayer, you know. You know, what do you think God's impressed with that? He's looking back and saying, do you even know what the word beseech means? You know what God wants you to say? Just using that kind of thing? He wants you to come before him and say, God, I need your help and I need it now. I'm not beseeching anything, I'm asking. And I'm asking you, I don't beseech you to heal this person or that person. Lord, I'm asking. I'm asking you as my Savior and my Lord, my God, and as my friend. I'm asking you, as you standing right here, I need you to help me. I need you to help my friend. I need you to help my church family. And I really need you to do it now. I pray you will. So-and-so needs money. And God, I can't give that money. I don't have that kind of money. I don't know where they're going to get it. But so I'm asking you to provide it. You can make something out of nothing, and they need something right now. That's praying. And that's the kind of prayers God listens to. And that's what he said. Look over in Matthew. Look in Matthew 6. Over there. He tells you, I don't need you making all these long, drawn-out prayers. He said, the heathens do that. Just get on with it. And that's when he gave the Lord's Prayer, right? You read Matthew 6 and 7 and see how you pray. He said, get to the point. I smile sometimes. I think, do you get bored too? He said, I don't need to hear all that stuff. You're wearing me out. Just get to the point. What do you want? That's all there is. No, tell me what you want. He says, I want you to get in there and pray simple, pray sincerely, and pray with feeling. People are touched when you pray with feeling. For them, if it's just two or three words, you pray some scripture. Pray for salvation and pray for true spiritual revival. I want to hit this real quick, and we're going to move on. Listen. Our country, this state, this world needs revival. We need the great salvation of the Lord to work again. In the past, you had people that you won't even, may not know all their names. There was a guy named Billy Sunday, great evangelist. God brought a tremendous revival to this country through him. God's brought revival through people and, you know, and Wesley and so many people bringing messages to the public. And God used those prophets, those people. Billy Graham was out there so long, keeping a conscience to this nation. Everybody, not everybody liked him, but even politicians and even the presidents wanted to be around him. He brought a moral, a spiritual consciousness of God to everybody, to the whole world. And you look right now, and all I see is pretty boys on TV who are more concerned about their money and their reputation than they are bringing people to Jesus Christ. It's all feel good. And it's not telling the truth to people. And the truth is, if you reject Jesus Christ on this earth, you will be in hell for eternity. That's the truth. But if you accept Jesus Christ, you not only have heaven, but you have help in time of need. That's just where it is. These people preach those kind of messages that God used to convict the hearts of lost people and to strengthen the faith of those that were hurting. Because it's encouraging to hear that with Jesus Christ in my heart, there may be hell all around me, but I'm going to heaven. And sometimes our life seems like just a living hell on earth. But as a Christian, we have that joy and that confidence and that sureness of the Lord in our hearts that this too will pass and there's a brighter day tomorrow. That's our hope for living. And that's what we're here to give other people and pray in the Holy Spirit for that kind of salvation, for that kind of awakening. Are you hearing about this revival that's kind of starting and sweeping? Go, pray it continue. If you haven't, pay attention. It's even been on the, you know, on Fox News, and they're talking about. And there's let it pray that just burst out. And a great awakening. A salvation and enlightenment, because God, we need it. We need it. Thirdly, show mercy. He says, this one's always kind of had me held up a little bit. He says, you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. See, strengthen them in the faith. And if they're wavering, show mercy. But rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. And then show mercy to still others. And so it's mercy and mercy and mercy. And snatch them out of the fire. That's what he's saying, out of the flames of judgment. Let's talk about mercy for a minute. He says, you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. When people's faith is wavering, they say things that don't seem like they're faithful. You ever been there? Where you just said negative, critical things that you look back on and say, I don't know why I said that. I didn't really believe it, but I said it. And your faith was wavering. You were hurting. Something's happened. And God is saying, I want you to show mercy to people who are struggling like that. Oh, mercy over judgment. Don't judge them. Don't judge them. Show mercy. That's, you know, help these people. Come and strengthen their faith. It's all built. God used this author to just build it all together. God said, God's word. He said, strengthen the faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. And show this mercy. What does mercy do? Strengthens people in the faith. It keeps them going. So don't judge people. Show mercy. And especially people who, what did he say? He spells it out here. To those whose faith is wavering. Have any of you in here ever had your faith to waver? Yeah? Anybody else? I don't have anybody sitting on the other side of these poles. My honorary crowd's not here. So they'll all raise their hands. Some here. Yeah, have you ever been in a place where it just seemed like it wasn't there? We're not supposed to admit those things as Christians, are we? But we have it. And we're to show mercy when that happens. And we're to show the mercy over anger and criticism. One of the easiest things to do in the world is to be a critic. Anybody can be a critic. Be like somebody else saying, if it had been me, I'd have done it like this. You ever caught yourself doing that? It's not real good for marriages, but we do it anyway. Well, if I'd have been there, I'd have done it this way. But you weren't there. And you know something, I'm going to tell you, this is just a little thing. I ought to get up probably on my soapbox, but I won't. But listen to me. We have these history revisionists now rewriting history. And I tell you what bothers me more than anything about that is they will tell you what the people that wrote, that made history were thinking. It's like they were there. You know, they'll talk about Adams or Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin or somebody. And though when they were writing this, they were doing, it's like, you know, how do you know that? You were there, were you? You have a transporter that took you back there and you were a part of this? And we put words in the minds of in people who have no idea what they were really thinking. You see this stuff? They produce movies about TV shows. And it's like, how do you know what they were thinking? And it's easy to stand out here, and one of the easiest things for any of us to do is to look back and say, well, if I'd have been there, I'd have done it. And why didn't they? I'll tell you why. Because you weren't there in the crisis and the trauma of the moment. And when you're down there in the gore, you don't think like you do standing out here afar back. When you're in the middle of the stuff is all you see, and you're just trying to get out of the stuff. And history's written about people who did heroic, courageous things just getting out of the stuff. And it's easy to judge when you weren't there. And you say, well, bring that forward, and it's easy to judge one another. If you weren't there, you don't know the feelings, you don't know how the person felt. And I'll tell you, when you're in the middle of something, when crisis is happening, you get tunnel vision, tunnel feelings. And your faith gets kind of tunneled. And all you see is what's going on right now. Not tomorrow, right now. And survival becomes your instinct. You make decisions based on that just to get out of that. Others can stand back and say, whoa, didn't you see? Didn't you hear? Why didn't you? Because I was in the middle of it and all I could see was junk around me. And Christians, when you're in spiritual warfare, and we all are, we see the darkness of it trying to hem us in. It never will if you stand strong and do what this word's telling you to do right here today. But Christians, listen. Listen. Don't give in. And don't give up on others. People's faith will waver. They'll struggle. Your faith may waver. And never forget that when you're in the pit, all you see are the sides of the pit and you're just trying to get out of it. So don't judge somebody who's down there because all they can see is that. That's our job, is to pray for the things they can't see. You with me? This slammed me right here. When I had that second emergency surgery and I was lying there after that at Brook Army, had this huge cut through here and this big old gel gauze thing holding me together. I'm thinking, I'm being held together. It was a gel pack type thing. I'm being held together with gel. How would you like that? You know, and if this gel burst, Tony's out. And I realized lying there, what was that, 7 or 8 days? I don't remember now. Suddenly, this faith that's just always been there just seemed like just a little thin thread one day. And you know what caused it? I started questioning God and I started asking Him, why is this happening to me? And then my own mind and all those, you know, voices come in. Well, maybe if you're a better man, if you're a better pastor, if you prayed more, if. See where how it happens? Because I allowed myself to entertain, why is this happening to me? And what was I doing? I started focusing on me instead of God. Why is this about me? And it took a bit for that to work itself out. For me to get back to where I needed to be And God's made me stronger through that and more sensitive to others who struggle in their faith, because I know what it took. And it took a lot in my life, but I finally reached that for just a little bit. Just, I didn't doubt God. I doubted that I was of any worth to Him anymore. And I began to think, listen, I began to think, this is God's way out for me. I probably won't come out of here. That was brief, but it was just shattering. You ever been there? Anybody? And the realization that I'm mortal, and this may be it. This, maybe God's chosen this way for me to go. And then somewhere through all the clutter, through all the mess, through all the hurt and the pain and all the drugs, the medication they were giving me, somewhere through all of that, the Lord began to come through. I'm not through with you yet. If I was, you wouldn't have needed this surgery. I'd have just taken you out with what was wrong with you before they had to do all this. I'm teaching you through this. And friends, that's one of the toughest lessons I've ever had, but I want you to know, I staggered in my faith there, and it was tough, because that's just an element that I've had some ups and downs, but it was, I've not been like that, where I was like, I must have really done something bad, or not done something. That's what I was worried about. What did I miss that was so great that it's brought me to this point, and this is God saying, I'm removing you. And it was like, I never intended to remove you. I intended to change you. But you're so tough to work with, son. It took this for you to listen to me. You see, God will let you hit the wall so you can find out it's not about you. It's all about Him. Always has been and always will be. So show mercy. And those who are messing up their lives, He says, you know, wait the mercy of the Lord Jesus and show mercy to those whose faith is wavering and rescue others but snatch them out of the flames. I just really wanted to understand, what does that mean, God? And let me give you what the just the little things that I have to close. And what it means is rescue others by snatching from the flames of judgment. What does that mean? When you see somebody messing up their life, don't go tell somebody else and start talking about them. He says, I want you to have the Spirit's filling, the power in you, the willingness to strengthen the faith of your family. See how this is hooked together? With mercy, I want you to come and I want you to be willing to look at that person and speak the truth in love, but grab them and pull them out of that fire. Sometimes people are so overcome by an addiction, by a habit, by a sin they've fallen into, that they need you and I to be willing to risk our whole selves to reach in there and say, I can't let you do this to yourself. God loves you too much. I love you too much. And I just got to tell you, we're not going to let this happen. And that's what you do. You rescue people who have lost it. They've hit the wall and they're still rolling from it. And then He says, you snatch them out of the fire. Go help them. There's times to let God deal with someone, and yet there's times just like this to say, God's put it and prompted me in my heart. I got to go in there and I'm going to have to confront it. With love, with mercy, strengthening their faith, but they're gone too far. And if we don't do something, we're going to lose them. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what He's saying here. And then and we are closing. So He says, you do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. He said, just remember this. When you go in to rescue someone, you be real, real careful. Because you're going to see and hear things that just might be tempting to you. So be strong in your faith. Don't fall into their own sin. You won't. That He just cautions that. And now He says, all glory to God, who is what? Able to keep you from falling away. and will bring you with great joy into His presence without a single fault. Do you know what He's saying to you? You and I know that we sin every day, don't we? That's not a cliche. We do. Does anybody sin more than once a day? Okay. But the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all sin will take you into the presence of God's glory, and He won't be looking at your sin. And He says when you are presented to Him, He sees you without a single fault. You see it, but He says our sins and our transgressions, what? I will remember no more. I have removed them as far as the east is from the west and cast them into the depths of the sea. Let that soak in. God is not holding anything against you. You keep reminding yourself of something that God's already forgotten and cleansed you under the blood of Jesus, and He will present you without a single fault through the blood of Jesus applied to your heart. And we close with this. After hearing all this, He says, all glory to Him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are His before all time, in the present, and beyond all time. Amen, and amen, and amen. What a powerful, powerful word of God. And it's all yours for the taking. So take it. I usually close with a prayer. We're going to go right into the Lord's Supper. Give God a hand. He deserves it. He's all powerful.